February 25, 2023, it's the Juan Pedro Show.
Don't cry, baby. Don't cry, baby.
Don't cry, baby.
Try your eyes. Let's try it all. Come on, sweetheart, let's try it over again. Don't cry, don't cry, my little baby, don't you cry, 'cause your daddy's coming home just as soon as you born. So don't cry, baby, don't you cry.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Saturday. Offline talking about the weather. It's trippy here in SoCal. You can hear, people, I'm not man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention I got with me. Welcome aboard.
Glad to be here,
crow
man.
Or crow?
Crow, like okay. The bird, not like the
bird.
Actor.
Like the bird, okay. First, right off, we got to give Howard big fucking props for the connect, right?
Yeah, Howard and Mark Stewart, too.
Oh, brother Mark Stewart, yeah.
Yes. Yep. Mark first told me I needed to be on your show 2 years ago. He's like, oh, my gosh, you got to get on Mike's show. And this is before we released the single with you and him. So yeah. I'm excited to be here. And Howard's a great connect, and he's been great to work with, too. And I really appreciate it. We got it to happening.
Yeah, but you know, Pop Group was huge influence on Minutemen.
Of course, man.
Yeah, huge. And then, yeah, I get to play with the man, you know.
That's I love it. And that single is so good.
Yeah, and you know, it was a cover of a Grant tune. Grant from who played drums.
I know, and it just has so many layers of meaning to it. I love that.
Well, that's bitching about music and the arts, the way humans can connect without having to be fucking fascists.
Man, it's me. I agree 100%.
Absolute. Look, let me tell you people what they just heard. We start off the show with Don't Cry Baby Blues. This is live 1954, John Coltrane when he was with the Rabbit, Johnny Hodges. So much respect. Mm. And then we had Lesson 7 with Falling Into Sleep. This is the Mark Pistol Pulse mix. So, Scott, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Oh, my gosh. I grew up in country music royalty. I don't know if you know that, but my dad was the drummer for George Jones and Tammy Wynette for 25 years.
Climbing.
And then he was in prison for 20 years. So he was his own damn country song himself. But I grew up listening to music my whole life. I grew up standing on stages behind George and Tammy. I had met all these people like Johnny Cash and Ronnie Millsap and the Statler Brothers. I mean, that list just goes on. It's so funny because I thought all these people were my family when I first met them. I didn't realize they were just musicians that were all friends, you know. I mean, George Jones used to have his birthdays at my grandmother's trailer because he's from the same small town as my dad. And so so that's my first musical, learning. And then my dad gave me a drum kit, and so I started playing drums. I've joined metal bands, but there's been so much music that influenced me. But the first stuff after I left country music was definitely like early. It was rock and roll for me. I mean, it was like Kiss and The Who and Led Zeppelin and stuff. This is way before I discovered punk because I'm a redneck from Texas, you know.
Well,
and then later it was punk and industrial.
In the pad, since your pop was a drummer, was there a drum set in the pad?
Yeah. He gave me a drum set. Yeah.
Okay,
he always had a kit.
Okay.
And in fact, he was such an asshole. I wanted to learn to play drums better than him. That was actually my motivator more than anything. He was terrible at expressing that stuff. He had a drug addiction and alcohol problems that I didn't know as a child. He was an angry, violent man. And I mean, that's real, you know, and like, but I learned to play drums and, you know, I went from having a little 1962, Ludwig, pearl handle kit that was kind of used and beat up that my dad had used since the early days of the Jones Boys. I used that and then I got an Octoplus set and my first metal band, I was playing this double bass, you know, 9-tom kit, you know, from that.
Can I ask you some stuff?
Yeah, man.
Before that, like first record you bought with your own money.
With my own money. Oh my gosh. Cracker Box Palace from,
George Harrison.
George Harrison. Yeah.
Whoa.
And that was after it was already out. You know, like I went to, my mom took me to Montgomery Ward's and I went and bought a bunch of 45s for my birthday, about my 7th or 8th birthday. A lot of stuff I didn't even know what it was, but I was like, oh, he was in the Beatles. I like the Beatles. I also bought Yellow Submarine on 45, you know, cause it didn't turn over stock back then, so you're buying dead stock as new stock.
Yeah.
So to me, it was all new songs, you know.
You know, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so that's why I asked that question. What was the first gig you saw?
Probably George Jones and Tammy Wynette.
Yeah.
At 3 or 4 years old.
I saw
Neil. I mean, the thing is, concerts, man. Like I've seen Neil Diamond and John Denver and Barry Manilow and Kiss and Black Sabbath and Van Halen. I've seen hundreds of bands. I've seen Neil Diamond four times.
But you can only have your first one first, so that's why I asked.
Oh my gosh, I know I'm terrible about that stuff.
Can I ask you about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I barely. You know, I mostly smoked a lot of weed and I was an outsider. But then in high school for a minute, we had the show choir.
Yeah.
And I played drums in the show choir because I realized I could get out of school.
Okay.
And so, and I quit high school in my senior year, and I was going to be a rock star. After that. I was already in bands by the time I was in ninth grade.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. Like, not after school, graduate or leaving like you did, but in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, bedroom band, garage band thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay,
I was in all these
that.
Metal cover bands. Yeah.
Tell me about the first time. Well, what was it? Just a jam band, a prac band? You're trying to learn songs off records or something?
Yeah, so I'm like 12 or 13, and I joined my first rock band, and we're playing Thin Lizzy and Judas Priest and stuff like that. And all the guys in the band were 18 to 25 years old. I was the youngest guy. And I wasn't a prodigy. I was just somebody who could play. And so
we were
doing all kind of cover songs. And then every day we practiced.
Ask you, since you were the drummer man, was the prax at your pad?
No, it wasn't. No,
wow.
It was the singer who was 25 years old. He had a house and a wife and everything, and so we went over to his house and played in his garage.
Okay,
I loved it.
Okay, that's bitching. And could you keep your drums over there?
Yes, I did. They just stayed set up because we practice all the time. I mean, they seemed like they were serious. That band was called Airport Freeway, if you ever want to know.
Did you ever do a gig with them?
No, we never did. Just years of rehearsals.
Can you remember your first gig?
When I was about 14, I played in my high school, with Fractured Wing, this other metal cover band. We did a couple of songs, and then after that, I started getting into clubs.
Let me ask you about that gig.
16.
Was that gig?
Yeah, man.
Was that a success, that gig?
It was. There was about 200 kids in the auditorium. They were our peers.
Were you scared?
I was terrified.
Yeah, I was a shy kid.
I'm a shy kid, man.
Shit,
you know,
I sound
like a bullshitter, but I was a shy kid, you know. I was an outsider and a weird kid, but I was also a shy kid, you know.
Uh-huh.
I got tired of getting dumped in the trash can, you know. So it was kind of a coming out party for that. It was really good. The gig was really meaningful because those guys were the most serious band I'd been in at that moment. It was a three-piece. It was a singer, a drummer, me, and a guitarist. And we just had rotating bass players coming in and out.
Okay.
You may know that.
Oh, yeah. And how long that last?
Oh, it was 2 or 3 years. By the time I was out of high school, I'd already left that band and got into electronics by then.
Whoa, electronics. Oh, like synthesizer
Like synth stuff. I started doing synth music and stuff in about 1985.
Speaking of which, you gave me this tune, Crown, so I want to play it right now.
We'll be right back. Thank you. Oh, children. The Lakota.
Roads that you have wept.
cloudy sky. As you reach inside yourself, hazy thoughts and healing times. Not another but yourself.
Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with Less Is Seven doing Crown. Then we had Emergency Room. That's got Brother Brendan Etter, who was just on Last Edition, with Eight. I guess his college band when he was in New Mexico. Phil Maggie after that, brand new from him out of maybe Belgium, huh? Anonymity. Cat Casual and the Final Word with Deconstruct Sun. See, you take the K out of punk rock, you get pun rock, people. Objections have this. This is a brand new band made of two of the cats from Bilge Pump over in Leeds, England. BSA Day, which might mean the motorcycle company. You could tell if it's an England bike, though, because it's leaking oil, right? No, no. He's a leaker.
Truth, man, truth.
Okay, Medicine Singers after all you Triumph supporters. Right, right. There's no fans, right? They're supporters, yeah. The supporters, what in junior high they call the shit we had to wear under our gym shorts. You could not wear fucking skivvies or chonies, man. You had to snap the strap, right? The gym t that was a weird thing. A little Freudian. Sunset after that from Medicine Singers. Released into Dementia from Guided by Voice. Bob Pollard, every other month's got to be a new album, right? Man is prolific, people. Dayton, Ohio, too, near where that fucking train thing. So he's got a lot to write some songs about, maybe. Lesson 7, finally, with Orphy. Okay, continue on. So you leave school and you start changing up on the music. So you leave the trap set behind.
Yep, I did. I went to college for a few months, met a lot of good people there, did experimental music, and then failed out miserably in the first year. Went on and started following my rock and roll dreams for the next few years from about 85 to about 92.
Can I ask you, constantly. Scott, did you go to college at North Texas? Is that Denton? Is Denton's a music school?
It is
in Denton.
Right? I did. I studied experimental music for a year in North Texas, while, you know, known for its jazz school, big giant jazz school.
Right, right. I played there. One time I played on the campus and asked for some paper for a set list, and the fucking paper had staff lines on it. So I knew it was a music school, right?
You're like, that doesn't help.
But I was just there about a year and a half ago. There's a bitchin' pad called Rubber Gloves there, which is like for gigs. It's still practice pad. Yeah.
Man, it's still good. That's a long-term institution in Texas. You know, it's really, so many good bands have used that space over the 30 years I've known about it. Great, man.
So you're studying some electronic music at school, but then you go, the hard rock is calling you, the heavy metal.
No, I left metal behind. Once I became a teenager, I'd left metal. You know, I'd already discovered punk at about 84, something like that. Okay. I almost saw Minutemen. Okay. In 84. So, just so you know that, I just missed the gig. So,
which town? Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
Because Dallas gig we did was opening for Black Flag at something called the Twilight Ranch, and it was also called
exactly.
The
Room became the something ranch, Circle A Ranch.
That's
like that.
And it was on Commerce. It was by the police station where Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald.
Absolutely, right around the corner. And the mural is still there that's been there since 82. This one of this F-16 fighter that's been painted on this giant wall, you know, about nuclear war and stuff. And that mural is still there on the side of that building, and that club's been gone for 35 years.
It was upstairs, you know, and so you had to get your shit up this, like, twirler kind of stairs. And then there was a hatch next to the fucking stage. I guess there used to be a building next to it that got torn down. So if you didn't know and you opened that fucking hatch, you're going to take the fast
You're going way down.
Down.
I know. So many people. And that club was hot. It was so hot in that club. It was like,
oh, fuck yeah.
They refused to turn the damn AC on.
Because you sell more beers. That happened to me at the Duchess of York in Leeds. I asked the guy, "Why? You know, Jesus, why don't you open the windows? It's..." Well, that is how we sell the beer. I said, okay.
It's the truth, man. Okay. It's the truth. And they're, you know, selling tons of Lone Star to everybody, man.
So
it was hot.
Well,
yeah.
This was in England, but same idea. I guess they're
selling. Same idea. Oh, hell yeah. Texas is way about that because we have our old, you know, the old dance bar halls, which were totally unair-conditioned. You just opened the windows. There's literally the wooden windows on them on the green halls.
Yeah.
And this is where I grew up playing. So, like, you'd be like, you know, like sawdust on the floor and stuff because maybe they had a livestock show there 2 days before and now they're having a country show. I'm not even joking. Bars along the wall, always spittoons and no AC.
Yeah.
And just hot, warm beer. we call that regular too.
Right. Now, so musically, what do you do after you study some music at Denton?
I'm inspired by Mark Stewart, mostly about 1985.
So
I leave and I started working in a record store, and
I
discovered Soviet France.
I got to say something about that. There used the first time I found an online presence of the pop group was a cat in Austin that was archiving all the pop group stuff, and then cancer killed him or something. Yeah, but now we knew about pop group because of the records, right, in the late 70s. But then early 90s, I found this website this cat was putting together, and I don't even know if the band knew about it at the time. But
they probably didn't. Mark might have. Who knows, you know?
Right, but Soviet France, that's another band. I remember those cats.
Oh, yeah. They influenced me a lot to do my first noise project in 1985. But I heard Mark Stewart's Mark Stewart and Mafia, and that record just made my head explode. And that was with the three guys from Sugar Hill Band. You know,
right,
and then they
right.
Became Tactic
on
later.
Doug Wimbish on the bass. Skip McDonald.
Man, you talk about full circle. If I could just say this, Mike, I'm actually working with those four people and Adrian Sherwood on a new song right now, a new Tackhead song that I am singing on and Mark Stewart's singing on.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy that this is happening at all.
Yeah, I did a tour in England with my buddy, Brother Sam, and a project we got called Cousin. We played a town called, it's there in Kent part of England, Ramsgate.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of those guys,
Ramsgate,
they moved
that's
to Ramsgate.
Where Adrian lives.
Yeah. That's why I was just, what a trip.
Oh, my gosh.
What
it's
a
so
fucking
fun.
Trip.
It's so funny you've been there. You know?
I played there. There's a venue. And I actually
That's amazing.
It. Yeah, yeah. And what they told me, they were building a train line because a lot of London people, I guess, are moving there. And it was an old port, like, run by the king of England, like, 500, 600, 700 years ago. And near right. Canterbury and all that. So you're working with those cats. Okay, but I want to get ahead of myself. So back in 85.
I know. I didn't mean to jump ahead, but it's just an interesting connection because that album inspired me. I mean, so many albums, you know, like just like you, so many albums inspire me in different ways.
Yeah.
And I could name 50 albums that had such an impact. But that record had an impact on my musical career. That's what I want to say about that Mark Stewart record. I'm not saying it's the only one, but it was the one that really opened it up and industrial and noise and experimental in a way that I hadn't thought about it. Cut ups and mixing hip hop and stuff in a way that I just hadn't thought. Punk, you know, like all the shit he was doing with, you know, had done with Pop Group. He was just doing it and do a different flavor with the Sugar Hill guys and Adrian, you know, as Tackhead. And it was just good. And so that just set me on this trajectory to do stuff. And I discovered dark wave and goth along the way. And, you know, I was going to clubs a lot more then. And so, the pipeline in Texas from Chicago to Texas around a lot of Wax Trax bands and network label bands and played against Sam out of Belgium, I ended up Lesson 7. I formed that in 1986. And then between 88 and 92, we opened up for every fucking band that was on those labels.
Tell me about Lesson 7.
I'm trying to get ahead. I'm just saying, like, it's interesting because, like, whether they were a minor band or not, they were just like, you're playing with that band. You're playing with that. So we opened up for all of them, whether they were good or not. Many of them were shitty, but we played with all the legend, you know, bands that became legendary later, you know.
Yeah, tell me about Lesson 7. How did Lesson 7 start?
Lesson 7? It was just my solo outgrowth of electronic music that eventually I started getting different people to play with me between 86 and 88. Had a guy play like steel metal drums at one point. He OD'd on heroin. I had another singer guy because I wasn't confident enough about singing, but he spun off. And so in 88, I recruited two other guys, and that became between 88 and 92 was the really hard, big the time we were the most serious about stuff. And I got this guitarist, David Starfire, who's gone on to be a DJ in his own world. And this guy, Wynn Martin, who's in Energy Fools. He still does Energy Fools today. And so we kind of formed the bulk of that project and then just started really doing stuff. And 5 months after being together, we were touring with Skinny Puppy in 1988.
Can you remember?
We were necessarily good. I ain't gonna lie.
Well, can you remember the first Lesson 7 gig?
Yeah, it was just me solo, and I had built because I had seen Einstrosen and Neubauten, and I had built.
I saw
all
them
this,
in the desert here, out in Mojave.
Oh my God, they were so good. They were so inspiring and building stuff. So I built this electronic pad-driven stuff, and you're talking about like a redneck that like it's PVC and duct tape and you know VHS boxes, but I'd made all these like clanging metal things that you could beat on. But again, low tech. Nobody taught me how to make anything except for music.
Can I ask you?
I built all that. That was the first gig. Did videos. It was goofy.
Can I ask you if you knew of a guy named Zev?
Oh, I do know Zev. Yeah, I don't
well,
know
cancer
him,
got
know,
him. Cancer got him a few years ago. But he used to hit. Stuff all swinging around.
Oh, that's cool.
That's like 70s punk. Like anything went. I was so glad that experimentation
so
came back. You know.
Can I ask you if you were hip? The Industrial Culture Handbook. Do you know
I was going to ask you. Were you hip to Throb and Gristle?
I was, but again, that started to come later, not in 85, but by the time 87, 88, 89, 90, I started to figure it out. You know, I think we got a little bit of an age difference, and it doesn't seem like that much now, but it was more when I was a kid. And, you know, radio in Texas was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, unless you were into blues or psych rock, which I'm not downing those things, but for a kid trying to get away from that shit. It was rough, and so like it was hardly an exposure. But we had two shows. George Gamark had a show, the Rock and Roll Alternative, which I'm sure you were on. He ran that show on KZOO for 30 years. He got the Sex Pistols to come to Dallas and bands like that in the 70s and the 80s. And then there was
Nerve Breakers, right? I think
Nerve Breakers, yeah.
They opened
Telephones,
up for them.
Nerve Breakers. Man, so many good bands. Vomit Pigs.
Scott, I'm going to have to cut you off right here because we're going to do more, but it's at the end of the first hour, February 25, 2023, edition WAP. Pedro, so special guest Scott Groh. Hang on for hour two. February 25, 2023. It's the second hour of the WAP for Pedro Show. We'll be right back.
for John Wayne, man.
The West to the U.S. uniform and the cowboy vest. Mass murder and naked aggression. The henchman lynching symbolizing oppression. Professing to be a force of good. A Ku Klux cracker without the hood. The full package honky, I wish you would. Gasoline and kerosene, I'm doubtful would. Protect private property, kill the natives. Being a cop and a racist is not creative. Archetype of the devil personified. Kill, kill, kill. Traumatized, fantasize, romanticize, and glamorize. Been a front man for expansion through genocide. Entertainment is propaganda. That's who I never was not the answer.
In a blue suit, inherited fear in their hearts, born ready to shoot. From St. Creek to Dillon Roof, it's a lose-lose. Gatling guns, break the news. Birth of the nation, wrote the burning cross. Grandmother to Fox News, wrote the news. Every human for themselves, it came to that. A settler, an immigrant with a native flag. Mirage in the desert, we paid for that. First in blood, then with the weight on our back. Gravity is the only law. Setting a sun is the only order. If push comes to shove, it'll be cowboys strung up from here to the border. Why you wanna dress up like G.I. Joe? You could be John Brown or Geronimo. Can't bring back the frontiers you ended. So death to Reagan whenever he's resurrected. Films are the dreams of society things as the thinks of a world ruled by Anglos. What do I know? I'm just a bystander born in a fucking cop show.
And playing reparations, fuck John Wayne. I'm from a place where they made a thing. Still put us on the chain gang. Blue lives are a gang gang. We guerrilla minded as we maintain. Lit up on our hip, kick that thing thing. It's the return of the anarchists. Urban cowboys causing damages. Me and my crew got the whole city locked. One mad cracker took out a whole city block. We forget they stabbing shit. Body armor on at the range, pass the clip. You ain't gonna see me for days, you pass the rent. Still screaming land back, bitch, we passing it. Matter of fact, no asking, snatching it. Not seeing the streets, jaw, we cracking it. Feed all our peeps for sure, we black, we lit. We brown, we proud, Escott, we on common ground. Gather your people like you're John Brown. The BLA, the weather underground. Coming to your town, ski mask and feathers. On my black native, John Wayne could never. I said, on my black native, John Wayne could never. I said, on my black native, proud boys could never.
suits and white shirts on boardrooms and on TV shows and everything than are people on the street.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start the second hour off with the Sanskrit remix of Jesus Sign featuring Mark Stewart. And Clowncore after this and Buddies, Brother Brendan, who was on the last edition. Earth, Lewis Cole with Park Your Car in My Face. Genevieve Artadi with I Know. Logan Kane Nonet. Nonet, that means there's nine people in the band, right? Yeah. Nonet. Not an octet. Okay. Ain't the last name, people. Nicole McCabe after that. Well, it's called Nope Science. That's the name of the song. And then Oblique from Nicole McCabe. Lullaby from Brendan Etter Ensemble. And then John Wayne Was a Nazi. Okay, MDC, An Audio Assault, featuring Mick Crenshaw, Soul, and Sima Lee. Now, I remember their first version. In fact, they were called The Stains at first, but they changed their name when they found out there was an East L.A. band called The Stains.
They totally did. Yeah, but that version is great. We totally updated. We made a hip-hop version. It's good. With Dave's blessing. Dave, and I became friends just for the first time, but just before COVID happened, the whole pandemic thing.
Yeah. And they moved early to the city. They had to get out of Austin. Gary Floyd did the same thing with the Dicks.
Yep. And also Adam Sherburn, who was he ended up being Consolidated later. He was a punk kid in Houston back in those times too.
Right.
He's still around with Consolidated, some other projects. All those Texas kids, man.
So continue.
Everybody's trying to get the hell out.
That first gig you did was Man Alone with your machines, and was was it a success? What was the setup?
Oh, absolutely. Well, it was a music festival called Change Your Life. I was one of the headlining acts of a bunch of unknown acts, and
your first
it was
gig
a great
was
crowd.
A headlining act.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Midnight. I can feel midnight.
Okay. Yeah, get the broom, right?
Exactly. But it was a great crowd, and it was just a good building out of that. You know, and it started to build, just kind of build from that, you know.
Well,
I still
see
the footage
in the
cringe, but it had to start somewhere.
Well, you started to add more cats to the prod. You were mentioning in the last hour, all these.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Why?
And then we didn't want to.
Why?
Because I didn't want to just be in a single industrial band with just one guy in computers. Because that, even in the 80s, was starting to become very typical. And so I added acoustic guitar and bass. That was one person. And then the guy that played the synths, because he was also a good songwriter. So and so it was just a good outfit. We were just a really strong outfit. And I just became a singer after that. I co-wrote the songs and became a singer mostly.
Where'd you get the
and
name?
Didn't even play keyboards after that.
Where'd you get the name Lesson 7?
You know what? I don't even remember at this point. It's just one of those words that kind of rhymed. I've hated it and loved it at the same time over the many years. There's times I was like, I should have changed it. And so many times radio guys are like, Level 7, Less Than 7, Less Than, you know, like so many things. I'm like, I'm sorry, it's a difficult name. So
I was just interesting. I mean, it's a good number.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't really mean anything. 7 is, you know, whatever. So.
And what about touring?
We toured with Skinny Puppy in 1988, and then we toured with Nine Inch Nails in 1990 on the Hate Tour before they actually broke out. Got along really great with them. And then, like I mentioned earlier, we played with every band. I mean, like, we played with Ministry like 5 times. I mean, this is not like you. You have to understand, like, I didn't have a long story career. This is just in a few years. We did all this stuff, and I left in 92. So we played with Ministry and Revolting Cocks and Meat Beat Manifesto and Severed Heads. I mean, you just name any of those bands on Wax Tracks and Network, and we played with them.
And
we were paired with them again and again and again.
And probably by this time, there's a Deep Ellum scene, right?
Yeah, but it was punk funk. That was the big thing. All the labels were coming to Texas during that time, about 88 to about 90.
Yeah.
And they were signing all these bands, but they were signing a lot of punk funk bands. It was real big. And those are the bands that, like, if we didn't do a show, like, we would play, like, a goth club, and we'd draw 1,000 people. But if we played a regular club, like a, you know, just like they have live bands, there'd be fucking 50 people at that thing. But then a punk band would play, and they'd have 2,000 people at these shows again and again. Tin Hands and New Bohemians and a bunch of like hippie kind of bands that were. I didn't appreciate them so much then. I hated them because I thought they sucked all the oxygen out for all the anything that was outside of the mainstream. But now I've come to appreciate them a lot more. You know, not necessarily New Bohemians, whatever. I mean, they were fine.
Well,
but
what's your whole idea, Scott?
Tin Hands.
Let me ask you, what's your take on fucking the idea of genre anyway? Ain't music just music?
That's the truth of it, right? But that's an old man's perspective, an older person's perspective. You know what I mean? Like, it's true. Like, if you're a true artist, you begin to go like, well, those genres don't really exist. But when I was a young person or a young man, I was like, no, it has to be this thing. It's some purity that I don't even know why yet.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wasn't raised, like, even, like, my dad, like, he was musical, but he only listened to country music, you know, like, and so he had all these genres in country that he listened to, and my mom to degrees, and then she started listening to, like, Neil Diamond and Barry Manilow and stuff. That's how I saw all those bands, Village People, John Denver, you know, like, that's how I saw all these bands. And so, but I was like, once I left metal, I knew I didn't want to be in metal anymore, but I didn't know what that would be. So if I had stayed in music from 92 on until today, sure, it would have been. I don't care about genres. I care nothing about genres. I just released an album that has like every kind of, like, I mash up so many genres in that and 10 songs.
More
I feel
power
sorry
to you.
People that
more
have to
power
listen to,
to
it.
You. Now, look, you gave me this. You gave me this Eric Random and Stephen Mallander. I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
Let me play it.
just fine. don't behave.
Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music with One Way, No Replay, the Energy Fools remix, Eric Random and Stephen Mallinder, then Keith Fullerton Whitman, 12D Check by Interposing Peace, and me after that with number two, DIY, what a name for a band, right? But with Belt, don't want to get hit with that. I mean, one time I'm doing a gig with the Stooges, and he takes his belt off and comes at me, and I'm going, just don't use the buckle, Egg. But he didn't hit me.
No. Okay.
From Anchorage, Alaska, Muskeg Mudsuck with 10% Battery, Ray Shin out of Reno with Regret and The Common Man, and find Concrete Age, finally, Scott Crow and Birth Center, the Meat Beat Manifesto Planned Obsolescence Remix.
Yes.
Enlighten us to Eric Random and Stephen Malander.
Well, Eric Random, let me start with Malander first. Malander is a legend in industrial words. He's the co-founder of Cabaret Voltaire.
Oh, wow, that's right. That's right. Man, so I had that cut-up album. I loved it. Oh, man, I remember when that came out.
So good.
We just lost the main man. Yeah, Sheffield.
Yeah. Yes, it's so sad. I was working with Richard H. Kirk also on another track, which gotten more delayed because his passing.
And then there was a third. Yeah, he was the main man. That's right. And then there was a third cat, like, off that first album, and he became a field recorder for BBC, though.
That's right. Chris Watson. Chris Watson. Yeah, yep. Yeah. He also did Hackler Trio later and some other projects that are incredible noise soundscape projects. Really beautiful, wonderful, using field recordings and alternate
Mussolini
tunings.
I had a Cabaret Voltaire 7-inch called Do the Mussolini Head Kick.
Of course, Mussolini head kick, of course, man. So it's great to work with Malander. And Eric Random's, he's got a story unto himself. I mean, he knew Cabaret Voltaire since the beginning. And he was Nico's band leader all through the 80s. But he was in a lot of early punk bands. But he got out of them, and then all those guys went on to be famous in the late 70s. And then he just kind of went on with his life, but he ended up in Nico's band, and he's been recording great electronic music. And I just like working with him. And again, there's Energy Fools, old Lesson 7 guy. He's still doing Energy Fools. Wynn Martin, he's a great artist to work with, a good remixer. And, anyway, so I work with him on that stuff. And this is just a great version of the track. It's really nice to work with Malander at Random. It's just an honor. You know, like working with Mark Stewart, it's an honor.
Yeah. And this Concrete Age?
Yeah, Concrete Age. So it's a concept I've been developing about how we think we're so important and, you know, we're living in the Anthropocene epoch right now, right? Like it's human-induced everything that we're controlled. We're influencing the planet. Well, we think we're so important and we're going to last forever. But if electricity goes away, basically the concept is that all that's going to be left is a layer of concrete and plastic. And it's going to be the Concrete Age. It's going to be a little small sediment layer. It's not even going to be that big. And that's all that's going to be left of us. And so I built a concept out of it. And Jack from Meat Beat Manifesto loved it. So he called it the Planned Obsolescence remix.
Okay. I like the result, man. Bitch it.
Look, thank you. Birth Center's my son. I've been working with him off and on with music. He's a great musician unto himself. So just I can throw that in there. Milo Hartman Smith.
Yeah, out of the Birth Center. You had something to do with that, right? Hey, we're at the end of the second hour, February 25, 2023 edition WAP Pedro Show. Special guest Scott Crow. Hang tight for hour three. February 25, 2023. It's the third hour of the WAP Pedro Show.
Thank you. automatic weapon alluding to our hearts, alluding to our hearts. Smart reader ripoff, KUB, hallucinating reality. Could be you, could be me. I'll let you know, I'll let you know telepathically for a fee, of course, and a $300 deposit. Cause electricity? No. That stuff is definitely not free. Unless you're Benjamin Franklin with a kite, a string, and a skeleton key. A stormy sky chock full of static. Walk away when the only payment option is automatic. Man, you're better off sweating or shivering under a tree, hallucinating reality.
Thank you. about 2,000 square miles around the center of the blast. And in such an area, it would be futile, desperately futile, to construct what are called fallout shelters.
Tony knows the bomb can explode any time of the year.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Watt for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with All My Senses. Mark Stewart, KK Doll, Watts involved. It's a Grant Hart song.
It's a great track.
We were talking about this at the beginning of the show,
yeah.
But Mark wanted to.
Yep.
I mean, Grant wrote a lot of bitchin' tunes, and he picked this one. We had Noise Souk after that with GSW, Random Steps from Cunningham / Volt / Sarah out of Barcelona, Dumbass Youth out of Knoxville, Hallucinating Reality, Tragic Assembly with Non-Listener, and finally, Lesson 7, the NRG mix of Radiation. So what happens with, in like, you said early 90s, with Lesson 7? What, did it kind of run its course? Or?
Well, I ran my course. I was raising a kid, and, I would tour a lot, not as extensively as you guys. Again, you just remember this is like a certain period of time, and so I decided to quit. I got tired of touring and coming home with no money or less money than I started out with. I know many musicians know this story. So I just left. I just walked away from all my bands, closed the door and said goodbye to it all, and went into the antique business and opened two art galleries to the 90s and sold high-end mid-century modern and furniture and art for the next 10 years. Kind of made a world doing that.
What about privately? Like, you know, just making music
nope.
for yourself.
Nope.
No. Oh, you
sold my gear and just said goodbye to
the
it
whole
until
enchilada.
About
the whole enchilada.
Yeah. Until about 2002 or 2003, I started playing. I want to learn to play acoustic guitar. I'm sitting around campfires a lot. I'm doing a lot of activism stuff, sitting in the woods, stopping trees from being cut down. And so I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do this for a while. So I learned to play guitar. So I started writing songs and playing songs, but still wasn't that serious about it. And then, move forward. I wrote a couple of books that did pretty good. I don't know if you know of an anarchist writer. That's the main thing I've done for the last 15 or 20 years. I was listed as a domestic terrorist for about 10 years and hunted by the FBI. Turned those into great stories and had a couple of big books come out of them.
Can I ask you about one person in that kind of field?
Yeah.
Emma Goldman.
Yeah.
You like her?
She's one of my heroes,
yeah, okay,
man.
Okay.
Come on, man. She's the one.
Yeah, I'm into her.
You know?
I'm into her.
Yeah. Yeah. So she had she was working class. She was an immigrant. She just had so many good politics. She was sexually forward. She wanted birth control. I mean,
there's a great book in two volumes called Living My Life. I recommend
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Oh,
and
highly
she
recommend
did get
that
to
book.
Do one spiel
oh, my God,
tour.
I can't believe it.
I think Eleanor Roosevelt let her do a spiel tour in 1940.
Yeah. She was a great orator, too, you know, and she was a heavy writer. She wrote a lot. You know, she was definitely an active person. And, anarchy today is way different than it used to be. I mean, it's grown and changed and done so many things. But it's really established in the United States now. And I credit punk rock with keeping it alive in the modern generations from the 70s on, because it was kind of deadish, you know. And
but,
then in the
you know,
early
humans,
2000s, it's really blown up, you know.
Humans go through the cycles, you know. I think Chuck D said
it's so true. It's so true. But, you know, I mean, anarchy is anti-fascist at its core. So,
right.
You know,
right.
When you hear people saying they're anti-fascist, a lot of them are anarchists, even if they're not, you know, whatever. I mean, it's not like a brand or anything.
I think
but, yeah, I dig it. So,
Chuck D said, cycles, cycles, life comes in cycles, old is new, no, I ain't
oh
no
gosh.
Psycho.
Yes.
I want to play some more. I want to play some more Lesson 7. I wish you would have sent me some of that acoustic guitar music.
Thank you.
for Pedro Show Last Sorry. Music for this edition. Start that chunk off with Lesson 7 doing Anva, in parentheses, Arise. Bridge of Flowers after that with Aloe Vera. Bombas Brendan, When We Dance. Eugene Chadbourn, Ron Bushy. And then finally, Lesson 7 with the Lesson 7 version of Falling Into Sleep. So what you're hearing, people, is Scott re-releasing. This is a new Lesson 7. You explain, Scott.
Yeah, so in 1992, I closed the door, and I've had so many other eras. Like, some people, they're like, I just do this for my life. That's not been me, you know. So I opened the galleries. I did political activism for 20 years. I was during that time, I was listed as a domestic terrorist. I wrote books for 10 or 15 years. I still write books. They still come out. And so I didn't really pay attention to music. But what happened was that time went on and other kids, younger kids, started to discover the music that I had. How they found the cassettes or how they found the records, I don't even know because I wasn't tuned in at all. But they started to ask me when I would speak. My first book, I toured for 5 years around the world talking at colleges. And so there'd be hundreds of kids. And so somebody would always ask me about the band. I was like, how do you even know about this? And so some rappers, I got some social capital, and some underground rappers, Soul was one of them, Time is another one. They gave me a lot of encouragement to redo music. And so in 2016, Soul was like, hey, man, I want you to guest on a track with me. And I was like, okay, I'll do that. And I thought I was going to go into the studio. I was going to fly to Maine. I was going to get in the studio because that's what we did. You know, you go to the studio and do it. And he's like, and I was like, all right, I'll get all excited about it. And he's like, no, man, just record it in your phone. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, man, just record your part in your fucking phone and send it to me, and we'll edit it. I was like, okay. So that was my first introduction to that, and that shows up on my new album. And that song was released on their album in 2016. So after that, I just started doing stuff. And then all these people, so I literally, by 2017 or 18, I only had 4 songs that I'd recorded. And we recorded, you know, 100 songs or, you know, during those early years and stuff, in different bands and stuff. I didn't have any of them. And I just started asking on social media, and people started sending me cassette tapes and DVDs and CDs and videos and things I just didn't have. And so I was able to rebuild it. And along the way, as I started the record label Emergency Hearts, I was like, well, because I didn't get to finish this project, how about if I go back to people I used to know to remix it? So I'd go back to Mark Stewart because I knew him tangentially, or Adrian or Keith LeBlanc. I just was like, hey, man, would you do a remix for me? So I just started getting all these people to do remixes. So I reissued the Lesson 7 stuff. But now the last 2 months, we're reissuing these remixes from all these big name people, you know, in those worlds, you know, whatever it is. So big name being whatever the hell that means. That's air quotes. So but people that meant things to me, that artists that meant things to me, and not because I was trying to live in the past, but just trying to bring it to the present and into the future. And I call the remix series remixes Memories of the Future, because that's what they are.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, really interesting. So, because, yeah, I remember, I think that was up in the city, this band, Black Human, they had this line in a song. He said, the only thing new is you finding out about it.
So true.
You know what I mean?
So
being in the right
true.
Place at the right time.
And it's interesting because the digital, well, let me just say this real quick. The digital age, everybody is starting with music new if you're young. So if you get a song from the 50s or the 30s or the 80s or 2022 or 23, to you, it's all brand new.
Yes.
And so, like, that's the beauty of the digital age, is that there's no bias against, like, well, that's an old song, I can't do anything with it. It's like, what is that song? I never heard it. And because of all the old as new retro sounds, it just works. Not just for our label, but for so many artists.
No,
and
I know what you're saying, Scott. That's what I was trying to get at when I was saying, fuck genre, music is music. Because
exactly.
You're right.
Music
you're,
is
you're,
music,
you're,
man.
You're putting it in the context of old as new, but the same thing. You know, fast beat, slow beat, double time, halftime. It don't matter. It's still music.
Right, even scales and the tonalities and the noises and stuff. Yeah, I love the modern era of mashup, of the way that music is not so genre specific. You know, I really truly do. And it just took me growing up to figure that out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I guess
it's taken me a lifetime.
But I like it because it is a journey, and I like that you're open-ended about it. You're open to possibilities.
Absolutely.
With music.
Absolutely.
And so am I, which is what I call our emergency heart. When you're open to possibilities and you want to make change in something, whether it's political or cultural, you know, it's the joy that you bring to it and the openness and the possibilities. That's our emergency heart.
Okay, where can people find out about Emergency Heart on the internet?
emergencyhearts.com. We're also on all the streaming services.
Is it heart or hearts?
It's hearts, plural.
Okay.
Hearts, plural.
Okay,
yeah,
people,
emergencyheartsplural.com.
emergencyheartsdot com.
Right. And we're on Bandcamp and all the streaming services and stuff. We
got
videos on all
website.
The platforms and stuff
that.
For a different art.
I like the idea you got your own website, because having your own website is like having your own fanzine. And then there's
it
links
is.
To all that.
Because we can communicate
stuff.
Directly. I love it. I love being able to communicate directly with people and get communication from people.
And when you get done with this reissue, you're going to move to some new original music?
I've just released this. I have 5 albums out this year. So I did a Scott Crow album also that just came out called Of Everything and Nothing. I also have my corporate uncle Noise Project working with K.K. Null and Marisol and Soviet France and all these old Noise guys. That's coming out. And Audio Assault, my political industrial rap project. I'm working with Chuck D, Del the Funky Homo Sapien, Soul, Seema Lee, Mike Crenshaw. We're at MDC, which is I'm mixing old punk guys. I'm calling you to do bass on the next track.
And
hip-hop guys to do stuff. So,
I got to be on television with Del the Funky Homo Sapien with Mike D and Jay Maskus.
He's a freak, man.
Yeah.
That dude is such a freak.
Well, look, when you get this going, you come back on the show. Let's play it and talk about it, okay?
That sounds great, man. That sounds great.
Mic's open, Scott, truly. People, it's been the February 25, 2023 edition of Wapedro. She'll keep you powered dry.